going to be reading a passage of Scripture. Actually, I read this passage last week as well, but I'm going to read it again. This is another aspect of what Jesus is saying here in this parable of sheep and goats that I wanted to try to highlight that I don't think I talked as much about. I want to particularly focus today on this phrase, the least of these, my brethren. And just sort of think that through of what Jesus is saying there when he says that by serving other people, we are as we serve the least, we're actually serving him. And that's a profound thought that we want to go a little deeper on today. So I'm just going to read the first half of this parable today, and we'll pick it up at verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see that you were a stranger and invited you in, or needed clothes and clothed you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for the least of one of these, my brothers, you did for me. Let's pray together. Lord, we pray now that you would speak to us all through the power of your Spirit, through your Word. Father, I pray for these brothers and sisters that listen, that you would help them to hear what the Spirit would be saying to them. I pray that for myself as well, and I pray particularly that you would take me as who is just as much in need of your redeeming, saving grace as anyone else in this room, and just as much in need of hearing your word. I pray that you would use me to speak so that your Spirit, working through ordinary means, would do something remarkable and amazing. Your Spirit would change us all, make us more like Jesus, more equipped to live in this world as your sheep following you. Help us more and more to die to ourselves and to live unto Christ. We pray that you would do that deep, meaningful and lasting work in all of us, we pray. This we pray in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. We've probably seen the face of Rick Sacra in the news. He is the SIM missionary who, by the way, that's the Macaulays are applying through SIM, right? To serve in Africa. SIM stands for the Society of International Missions, or Missionaries. But Rick Sacra was the fellow who was a doctor in Liberia, serving in Jesus' name some of the least. I mean, who is more the least in our world today than you could make a good case, someone with Ebola in West Africa. And yet there he was, serving in the name of Jesus as a doctor, ministering through deeds of compassion and mercy that also included deeds of the word, ministering in Jesus' name to some of the least, some of the most forgotten, perhaps some of the most forsaken on the planet today. So close in proximity, so down on their level, so into their world and into their pain and into their suffering that he himself contracted Ebola and in what was kind of a life and death flight across the Atlantic Ocean and to a hospital himself in America, where now he's been healed of that disease. We tend to resist the least. We tend to not want to be ever thought of as the least. I mean, think of how much we avoid the whole idea of being the least. I mean, to be at the bottom of the pecking order, to be at the bottom at the workplace, to be the least at school, to be the least in looks, to be the least with money, to be the one with the most problems in the room, or to be seen as the one that's sort of at the bottom. In fact, I think a lot of our energy and time and effort is bent toward getting as far away from being the least as we can. I mean, we prefer to be over on the other end of the spectrum, right? To be the best and the brightest or the greatest, but even if we can't get there, we certainly don't want to be the least. Always so the thought of, as long as someone's worse than I am, at least I'm not the least. And yet, let's think about this morning the Jesus that we worship, that we serve, this cross that's represented on this pulpit, reminds us of a Christ who stepped in to the broken, ugly disease of this world and became willingly the least, that he might be our Redeemer and Savior. The depths of his service to his people was for him to become the least. For after all, he had no beauty or majesty that we should be drawn to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. And this is the shepherd that we're called to follow. To follow in a kind of self-denying willingness to step into the world of the least and be Christ to the least, to be a picture of his love and redeeming grace. So I'm going to look at just 2 points regarding this. I'm going to look at Christ's example, that he led in this principle by example, and then secondly, our call to follow him. So he tells us to step into the world of the hungry and the thirsty, welcoming of strangers, clothing the naked, healing and visiting the sick and those in prison. Why does he call his sheep to do this? Because that's what he did, right? He who, being the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. You can't hardly imagine who would have been the least and the lowest that Passover weekend in, I don't know, 29 AD maybe, in Jerusalem that day. Who was the least but the naked guy on the cross, bleeding, dying a criminal's death? With even his last words, one of his last words, crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? I mean, how low, how much lower does that get? In the Greco-Roman world, dying a martyr's death was actually pretty cool. In fact, there were many stories within the Greco-Roman and Jewish world of people going to their death with strong words, brave, bold words, looking death in the eye. Jewish martyrs that are described in the intertestamental period, in the book of Maccabees, for example, who, you know, died with bold statements of faith in God and their willingness to die for the cause of God. I mean, that was the way to go out. Go down in a blaze of glory. A man of God, Messiah, having the last words being, my God, why have you forsaken me? Not cool. Not very bold. Not very strong. Weakness. That would be one of the martyr deaths that we'd want to just shuffle under the carpet and not talk about. But here's the point of all this, right? Our whole vision of who Christ is that he went to the bottom for us. Okay? All the way down to the bottom. And stands with us as that kind of Savior. I mean, isn't that part of what draws us to Christ? Is that he says, in essence, I'm the Savior who gets it. I get what it's like to be hungry. In all the ways that you can be hungry. I get hunger. I get what it's like to be thirsty. I've done thirst. Now, remember Jesus on the cross, his one request for comfort was when he said, I'm thirsty. Gets what it's like to be a stranger, rejected by his own people that should have received him. Gets what it's like to be thought of as a stranger, unwelcomed, unappreciated, devalued. Gets what that's like. Then a God who gets what that's like. Knows what being naked, man, literally naked. I remember crucifixions were not done with a loincloth. Crucifixions were done in the nude as all kind of ultimate humiliation. Knows what that's like. To have his garments taken from him. Knows what it's like to bear, you know, the sickness, disease of the world upon himself, carrying our own sin. Knows what it's like to be a prisoner, cuffed and tied up. Gets that, has been there, okay? Has so stood with us in the predicament of the human condition that, I mean, isn't that, you know, in some ways the Christian answer to the whole problem of suffering, like, you know, what's sometimes called theodicy, you know, how can God be good and loving and yet allow evil to exist, that whole question, in some ways the answer to that isn't so much an answer, but it's a person of Jesus who says, I get it. I understand human pain and suffering, and I, as the Messiah God, stand with my people in the midst of their suffering. It doesn't really answer maybe all the intellectual questions about it, but it's a hope, right? I get it. I stand with you. I've not abandoned you to these things. I am with you in it. That's the Savior he is. So he leads by example, right? And throughout Jesus' ministry, we see him standing with those that are suffering, those that have been disenfranchised, those at the bottom of the pecking order, those that are diseased and suffering and fallen and broken, the betrayed, the outcast, the rejected, the misunderstood, the forsaken, the loners, the socially awkward, the friendless. Those were the people that most were drawn to him. Those were the people that most connected with who he was. Those were the ones that made up some of his most devout followers. People who were hungry and found him to be on some level bread of life. People who were thirsty and found him to be on some level living water. I mean, and literally fed and gave comfort to people. Those who were strangers and found him welcoming. Hey, this world may not take you, but I'll take you. Come unto me. Those who were naked. I mean, at the very ground of our faith, right, is that we come before him naked and he clothes us with his own righteousness. The sick. He healed. Jesus leads by example. So, to be a sheep now, let's go to the second point. Here we are, people who have been on the receiving end of his care. Now, his sheep, we follow. We're called to follow in the footsteps of the Master, right? Jesus is upfront about this. If we're going to follow him, it's a call to take up our cross daily and follow him. Now, you might be surprised then. So as we follow Jesus and as we're seeking to engage in the kind of ministry that he engaged in, caring for the needy, the poor, the sick, he says something kind of surprising, right? That when you do it to the least of these, my brothers, you've done it unto me. Now what's that mean? Couple things. I do think that when he's talking about the least of these, my brethren, that the primary application of this is that he is talking about the fellowship of believers, right? I mean, who does Jesus refer to as his brothers, his brethren? Remember the occasion in Mark chapter 3 where Jesus said, hey, your family's outside, your mother, your brothers, your sister, they're outside waiting for you. Jesus said, the one who does God's will, they are my brothers and my sisters and my mother. So on the one hand, I think there's a primary application here, for Jesus is telling us how we are called to treat people within the household of faith. That, I think, is the primary application. Although, I do think that a secondary application is that, therefore, this is how we are to treat anyone, because we're called to love our neighbor, right? And the church is like the nursery where we are trained in what it means to be a human being, and we are trained in the nursery of the church in terms of what it means to love our neighbor. But Jesus is saying, when you do it unto me, when you do it unto the least of these, my brothers, you're really connecting and doing it unto me. Let me give you maybe an example of how this might work. So let's say I cut my finger, okay, and I'm bleeding. Now, this hand over here sees the bleeding finger. Well, my eyes see it. The hand is going to do something about it. So this hand will come to the bleeding finger, and literally, I might run it under some water. This hand might apply some salve to it. It might apply pressure to stop the bleeding. Eventually, this hand is going to put a Band-Aid around the cut so that it will heal properly. But because this finger and this hand are part of the same body, and in the church, Christ is the head of the body, this hand in ministering to this finger has literally served the body of Christ as the head, right? This hand served the head. It served the whole body, of which Christ is the head. So in a very literal way, then, a very powerful way, the exhortation here is for us in the church to sort of see past ourselves in some sense and to see that behind it all, we are Christ's body. We belong to Him. He fills us. We are united to Him. So when we literally serve one another, we are serving Christ Himself. And that should greatly motivate us to see past one another's brokenness and leastness and to say that by serving you, I serve Christ. And by you serving me, you serve Christ. Because we are members in union with Him, members of His body. And I think that care and love then does have an overflow effect. And that's what it means to be a light to the world. That's what it means to love your neighbor. So our call then, dear brothers and sisters, is to identify with the least, the marginalized, the overlooked, the needy, the disenfranchised, the other. I remember some of you are familiar with Jerem Bars. He came and spoke at our church years ago, but he worked at La Brie with Francis Schaeffer for a number of years in the Swiss Alps. Now those of you who are familiar with La Brie a little bit, the sort of romantic stereotype of La Brie would be, yeah, these young intellectual seekers would appear at the Swiss Alps at Schaeffer's door, and they would have these really long, meaningful discussions about the meaning of life and worldview over coffee, and these really reflective, deep discussions would go on. I remember Jerem Bars talking about this once, and he said, sometimes it was like that. But he said, what I remember most when I served at La Brie was that the people that arrived at La Brie were just broken people. People who arrived with addiction and came from backgrounds of severe abuse and neglect, who were psychologically, emotionally, spiritually damaged people, and quirky people, who came looking for shelter, looking for grace, looking for a word from God. Dear friends, it makes a lot of sense to me that the people who would be drawn to the Church of Jesus Christ are actually not going to be the healthy, right? But the damaged and the broken. In fact, isn't that what drew you to Jesus? Jesus sinners doth receive. A Jesus who said, I'll take you. You're damaged and you're the least, but not enough for me. I'll take you. I'll speak grace to you. Because I get it. I know what it's like to be damaged and broken and the least. So I'm with you. Come to me. It would make a lot of sense that those would be the very people who would be drawn to Jesus. And dear friends, those are the very people who we are called to minister unto. That's a good place to stop, isn't it? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, first of all, we need to think that we are the least. For we come to you, nothing in our hand we bring, nothing but our own hunger and thirst and nakedness and poverty and imprisonment. We come to you and we hear your words of grace and redemption that you have ushered in the year of Jubilee to us. And in you we find liberating grace. So we thank you that you became the least for us, that we might come to you in our leastness. But then, Lord, may we never just stop there. May we be a people who have an eye for the hungry among us, for the thirsty among us, for the stranger, for the naked, for the sick, and for those that are imprisoned. May we have a heart for them. May we be willing to step in and get dirty with them. May we, like the doctor, step in to the disease with words of grace and healing. So, Father, give us a heart for the least. And as we serve, as we give, may we be rejoicing that ultimately we serve you. We meet you. We give to you. This we pray in Jesus' name.